Friends, before we begin today's program, I need to update you on the Compassion Radio Summer Challenge. You probably know that summer is usually a time of low average giving for ministries. And that's true of Compassion Radio as well. Yet our operating expenses remain consistent throughout the year. So even as we rightly celebrate 75 years of continuing and uninterrupted ministry and partnership with you, right now we're facing a budget deficit that we just simply can't ignore. So I'll ask you today, can I count on you to make sure that Compassion Radio continues this year and in the years to come? We really need you to stand with us right now. Thanks so much for all you continue to do to help us reach out to the world through great partnership projects, and then to bring you the inspiring news of these projects each and every day. Bless you, friends, and thank you so much for standing with us right now.
Today on Compassion Radio.
And, of course, the word that's used in most translations is, suddenly, there is the angel, and then he knocks it into Peter. Wake up, dude. It is time to go. And this is, in my impression, that it's not a gentle thing. He had to really get a swift kick to get him up.
Maybe so.
And so he dances around in this daze for being asleep. He thinks it's a dream, how wonderful it would be just to be in the presence of God. Maybe this angel is taking me home to heaven. La-da-da-da-da-da-da, shuffling his slippers. And the angel's saying, move it, man!
Get out of here!
Get out of here! And, of course, the doors swing open, and they always do from the inside.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. I'm Frank Montenegro, inviting you to stay with us as Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their study entitled Chasing the Word Together. They're in the book of Acts, and if you want to go ahead and turn to chapter 12, we'll begin today's study.
Well, honey, we're in the middle of the book of Acts for a series that we've been calling Chasing the Word Together. And for me, that last word is the most important one because this is you and this is me together. I learned much more about the word, and I have over the years that we've been married, by spending time with you and actually reading it together.
It's nice to get a different perspective than just your own, to hear from someone else that you trust and you believe in and know is in the word alongside you.
We will always encourage our Compassion Radio listeners to be sitting under good, solid biblical teaching because we need to hear it from people who are dedicated to knowing the word. But that does not preclude us digging deep ourselves. In fact, it should be the very thing that makes us hungry for it. Mm-hmm. And we want to do this together to show that it really is possible for two people to sit down across the table, a cup of coffee, and talk seriously about the Word of God and know that God can and does want to speak through each other to each other. Mm-hmm. Why? Because the Word says it will not return void. And if someone else literally just reads the Word to us, that would be enough. But how much better that we get to read it through the filter of our heart and say, ooh, this is where it's going to nourish our soul for a while. We get to share in that experience. So if you have a loved one that you have a chance to sit down with, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you don't, then I encourage you to find someone. It might be a good friend that's been part of a Bible study group with you before, or by Facebook or Skype or something you sit down with in the morning, that across the country or even across the world, that you know that if we could just sit down together and read the word together, it would mean so much to you.
Maybe there's someone in your church that you enjoy getting to know that you don't know very well, and this could be a giant leap of courage to step out and ask them to read the word with you and study it together and share insights. It's a great way to get to know somebody.
Yeah. It is. And it's also a worthy challenge. Now, we've talked a lot about the kind of challenges our ministry is facing right now in the summer months. It's a downtime for giving in general for ministries. And so we've been asking you to be as brave and as generous as possible to keep this ministry on the air. And we want to do the same thing for you and encourage you in brave ways to hold us accountable to the kind of passion you know that we should be sharing and should be offering to you. Because this is our ministry to you, is to encourage you to do the things that God's called to you to do right where you are. So don't hesitate to let us know what you need and what God's doing in your heart. So write us.
Call us. Email us. Let us hear from you.
Even now, beginning of the program, write this one down, folks. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our 800 number is open 24 hours a day, and you can leave messages there. Let us know when to call you back. That number is 800-868-2478. Our website is CompassionRadio.com. And direct email to me would be bramfloria@compassionradio.com. Don't worry if you don't know how to spell that. Just go to the website. You'll see my name there. Now, back to the word. Let's start by reading the beginning of chapter 12, because things are going to get, as we say, more interesting.
Back in Jerusalem, hard times came to the disciples. King Herod violently seized some who belonged to the church with the intention of mistreating them. He ordered James, the brother of John, to be executed by the sword, the first of those appointed as disciples to be martyred. This move pleased Jewish public opinion. So he decided to arrest Peter also. During the Holy Festival of Unleavened Bread, he caught Peter and imprisoned him, assigning 4 squads of soldiers to guard him. He planned to bring him to trial publicly after the Passover holiday. This is where it gets really interesting.
I think it's already interesting because the king of the area now, this particular Herod, has so pleased the Jews, as the way it says here in Acts, the Jews who really hated those who were following Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're eager to persecute their own blood, their own people, simply because they're following Jesus. They're still in a bloodthirsty mob mentality, and the king is capitalizing on this.
Yeah.
We know that the soldiers that are sent to guard him have probably seen in the news recently that you don't want to fall asleep on the job.
Right.
It's a pretty dangerous thing. The soldiers that guarded the tomb of Jesus, they kind of got in trouble too. Mm-hmm. In fact, they were executed for not holding their posts. It's not a pretty job to have. So things are really tenuous, and the politics of the time are very paranoid. I guess is the best word for it. And that's the situation that Peter has now been arrested under.
During Peter's imprisonment, the church prayed constantly and intensely to God for his safety. Their prayers were not answered until the night before Peter's execution. Hmm. So picture this event. Peter is sound asleep between 2 soldiers, double chained with still more guards outside the prison door watching for external intruders. Suddenly, the cell fills with light. It is a messenger of the Lord appearing before him. He taps Peter on the side to wake him up. The messenger says, "Get up, Peter, quickly." The chains fall off Peter's wrists. He sits up and the messenger says, "Come on, put on your belt, put on your sandals." Peter puts them on and just stands there. The messenger of the Lord says, "Pull on your cloak over your shoulders. Come on, follow me." Peter does so, but he is completely dazed, and he doesn't think this is all really happening. He kind of assumes it's a dream. He's having a vision. They pass the first guard. They pass the second guard. They come to the iron gate that opens up to the city. The gate swings open for them on its own, and they walk into a lane. Suddenly, the messenger disappears. Peter finally realized all that had really happened. "Amazing," he says. "The Lord has sent his messenger to rescue me from Herod and the public spectacle of my execution, which the Jews fully expect."
Of course, this is narrative written about what Peter probably told the author later he was going through, or what thoughts came to his mind immediately in the wake of these things.
Right.
This is an experience that is not unprecedented for Peter. We just read in the past few chapters that he's had these strange and stirring visions. Mm-hmm. So it would not have been unnormal for him to be having strange dreams.
Right. He thinks it's a vision.
And of course, it's not a vision in that sense. It's the reality and the presence of an angelic messenger sent to rescue him at the exact time that God intended for it. Mm-hmm. It says there it was at the last possible moment before Peter is going to be executed.
What I love is that Peter is sound asleep.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be asleep. I would be anxious. You know, the chains would be rattling because I would be shaking of fear, I think.
You'd think.
Peter is sound asleep between these soldiers. And he's even taken off his shoes. He's taken off his belt. He's relaxed.
Yeah. I think about him being exhausted. I mean, think about the times you and I have been involved in ministry things while we traveled, or we've been in tough situations where things are not comfortable, but you worked hard all day. At the end of the day, you just collapse. I wonder if Peter, having been stuck in prison, might have been spending his entire time there preaching and preaching loudly to the prisoners that were in the prison, to the prison guards, and maybe even yelling out the window to the people on the street. Peter is not known for being a quiet wallflower kind of guy. And he's probably spending every last ounce of energy he has because he knows when his execution date is set. They're not just going to spring it on him. It's probably the talk of the town. He's probably being ridiculed by the soldiers saying, "Yeah, talk all you want, mister. Tomorrow you're going to be a dead man."
It's up, yeah.
In the midst of all that, I don't see Peter slowing down one bit. He's calling loudly to the people, like Noah did in his day, "Repent, because the time of judgment is here." The other thing about this that I think is kind of special, honey, is that when we think about when God shows up, where were the soldiers aiming their focus? They were all looking outward. They were looking for the way his friends might try to break in to break him out.
Right.
So they're all focused on keeping intruders from coming into the building the normal way. Mm-hmm. Where does God and his messenger show up? In the middle of all
right
of it.
Right in the middle of it.
And probably knocking out the soldiers so that nobody can respond to this. But the angel also seems to be pretty urgent here.
Yeah.
He's not saying, hey, let's talk about this for right a while. And of course, the word that's used in most translations is suddenly, there is the angel. And then he knocks it into Peter. Wake up, dude. It is time to go. And this is, in my impression, is that it's not a gentle thing. He had to really get a swift kick to get him up.
Maybe so. Yeah.
And so he dances around in this daze for being asleep. He thinks it's just a dream. How wonderful it would be just to be in the presence of God. Maybe this angel is taking me home to heaven. La-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shuffling his slippers. And the angel saying, move
Hurry
it,
up,
man.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. And of course, the doors swing open, and they always do from the inside.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
This is Cher Nelson. This 75th year of broadcasting is very important and emotional for us. Important because God is opening new opportunities and new places for us to be able to share the compassion of Christ to the persecuted but triumphant church around the world, and to take God's word to people who have never heard or read. And emotional because we are challenged to preserve the amazing legacy of the ministry first Wilbur Nelson and then Norm left with us. Norm left us much sooner and more suddenly than any of us anticipated, and we have earnestly endeavored to continue the path that was laid down before us. But we're facing a difficult financial season, and we don't have the warm and trustworthy voice of Norm to tell you how much we need your support. But Wilbur always said, in times of financial need, ask the Lord and tell the people. And so that's what we're doing, asking the Lord to touch hearts and telling you, we need your partnership, not just your money, but your prayer-covered partnership giving, especially if you can join our vision team with a monthly pledge. But if you believe in our working together, we need your support however and whenever you can, and especially this month. Please, dear friends, will you help us?
To support Compassion Radio, call 800-868-2478 or go to CompassionRadio.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And last but not least, you can text the word COMPASSION to 53445. And thank you so very much.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
The space in my mind is too small for you. The space in my heart is too small for you too. And all of the things of the earth that I've known are too small for all of the greatness you've shown. I'm still facing my needs, and I'm scared of how big they feel to me. I know you are big enough to hold me. I know you are big enough.
Yeah.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I wonder if angels get frustrated.
Hmm.
In the version that I'm reading from, it sounds like the angel was almost just frustrated with Peter, was just like, oh my goodness, come on, get up, hurry, put your shoes on, like trying to go to church on Sunday mornings.
There are plenty of traditions and scriptures that indicate that there really are personal messengers mm-hmm. that God establishes for us, our own cohort, you might say. Mm-hmm. If he's called us, he's going to send protection for us. So perhaps this is his personal angel.
Perhaps.
Someone who knows Peter intimately from the time he was a young man or even younger, perhaps. He knows what Peter's made of. He's not wasting time. He's taking names. He's going to get something done. And that's probably because he knows that's what Peter needs.
Peter needs to be urged.
But when the angel leaves is when Peter, it seems, comes to his senses, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Being in the presence of angelic power was not enough to say, wow. He literally was so almost intoxicated by the experience that it was the absence, the going back, that woke him up mm-hmm. like a cold shower. And suddenly realizes all that it meant.
Well, we've all had dreams that have seemed so real that you think, this is really happening to me. And then you wake up and you're kind of relieved in a lot of ways. No, I'm actually not walking a tightrope across Niagara Falls or whatever. But you've...
We need to talk about that one later.
But you've had a dream that is so real that it's almost like you can touch the people yeah. within that dream. And Peter had had dreams like that, had visions like that. We talked about that, like you said, the vision of the food coming down from heaven. So I'm not surprised. It doesn't make me think, well, what's the matter with him? He sees it as a vision. Mm-hmm. He's obviously been involved in some things like that. So when he wakes up and realizes this is really happening to me, yeah. I'm really outside the prison walls, I got to go let people know.
And he thinks about where to go next. I'm sure that seed was put into his heart and he knew mm-hmm. where the people were meeting. He probably knew the secret code, the knock and everything. Mm-hmm. It goes with wherever they were hiding mm-hmm. at the time. The book end of this chapter starts with they were praying incessantly. In other words, they weren't giving up.
Right.
It was a vigil.
Right.
They were around the clock 24/7 because the head of their church, the one that Jesus himself said, you are to lead this flock, is now facing the gallows, mm-hmm. so to speak. It may be crucifixion, maybe beheading. We don't know what he was facing at that moment, but it's real. And they realize that something horrible is going to happen to the entire body of Christ if he goes now. They've got a vested interest here. They want him alive.
Mm-hmm.
What I marvel at is that they didn't consider that he already was alive, that he was very much alive because the Spirit of God had given him the rest he needed and had given him the place of safety to be in. In the meantime, there was no riots that were going to kill him on the spot. He literally was in a safe place mm-hmm. inside that prison. And then he had a safe exodus.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was prepared for in God's perfect timing for his purposes. And the moment they opened their lips asking for an answer, God had that answer.
Mm-hmm.
They persisted in the prayer vigil because that's what God had for them. But what God had for Peter was already in the works.
Well, and God knew that when Peter was released, he was going to have to run for his life, basically. So he gave him that rest in preparation for what was to come next.
Yeah. So in the next program, let's continue what happened next in this chapter. But let's wrap up real quickly what we've learned so far about the situation. We have Peter, now the anchor of the church, the rock upon which it's going to be built, and all those other metaphors that Jesus poured into the image, the personality of Peter, as he loved him and helped build him up as a young man. Having gone through all of these incredible experiences and also transformed people's understanding of what God was really up to. When that sheet came down from heaven, it was a bucket full of things you weren't supposed to touch. So God said, not only get up and have dinner, he said, get out there and kill something and eat it, which meant get your hands dirty. We know it's a metaphor for dealing with Gentiles. They're not dirty to me anymore. Go to them. They're not unclean. I love them. I'm going for them. And you're going to be the people that go with me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But everything's being transformed about their expectations for what God can do. Even if they prayed hard and heavy early on, they weren't going to stop praying hard and heavy until God revealed his answer, not just provided one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did. And that's where we let off at the end of this part of chapter 12. Friends, I would say that my takeaway today from this is persistence matters to God. And it certainly matters to our sense of ownership and involvement in something important. God wants us to own what he's put us in and say, this is my world I live in because God gave it to us to take care of. We have a stewardship of this place. We have a stewardship of our families. We have a stewardship of our churches. And we have a stewardship because we're in the family of God to all the family of God around the world. We need to live by that because if we don't, no one's gonna for us.
Mm-hmm.
My heart breaks for all the stories we hear about people that were not rescued, quote, in time, that God allowed to be sacrificed or martyred for his name's sake around the world. He may have specific purposes. He may have literally thwarted others that might have tried to help them for his own reasons. I don't know. But it seems more likely to me that people who had the opportunity and could have said yes to the Spirit of God said no, or I'm not sure that's what you're really saying, God. I want to get a second opinion.
I think for me, the persistence in prayer is an encouragement because they continued in prayer without seeing a result for an extended period of time. And even though they did not see an answer to prayer during that time, they persisted.
Yeah.
And they prayed and they were intense in their prayers and they were devoted to prayer and time together in prayer, corporate prayer, individual prayer. They were committed to praying for their brother in Christ.
Right.
And that is something that I am sadly not great at. Mm. I don't persist in prayer over things that I know God has put on my heart. Mm. And so I'm encouraged by this to step up my game in praying for the things that God has put in my heart.
Think of the testimony that comes out of that experience too. Every person who was in the room that day, many of which are mentioned in the story by name, including the servant girl because of what she did coming up next. The people that were there for the rest of their living days have that story, that testimony. I was there when God did ...
Right.
Because they persisted. They didn't walk out and leave them behind and give up. These kind of people have a powerful testimony and one that needs to be not shaming us, but moving us to do what seems to be impossible or ridiculous at times when God says, just pray.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to do something. But God says, no, the thing you're to do right now is to pray. We all know we've experienced that at times where God just says, just be quiet right now and talk to me.
Well, I'm often struck by how people say, well, I'll pray. It's the least I can do. And I think we laugh at that, but we hear that phrase and I've said it myself. It is the best we can do. It is the primary thing to do. The scripture tells us to pray endlessly, pray without ceasing. And that attitude of prayer, that posture of prayer is important.
Yeah.
And that's what God calls us to as believers, pray without ceasing.
And we need to understand that the prayer without ceasing does not mean pray and never stop praying about that one thing. Mm-hmm. It says two things. It says there is an attitude of prayer that is relentless. Always with you, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the needs are, you are to pray. The second thing is you pray insistently until it is answered. Yes, no, or otherwise. Mm-hmm. You get the answer from God and you know that you've heard from him. You move on to the next thing. But the prayer never stops. So it's not saying just keep knocking your head against the wall for no reason. It's saying knock the word right into your heart and hang on tight because it's going to be a roller coaster ride here. But when God shows himself, you will know it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the encouragement I think we should be getting from that scripture. And on to chapter 12, part 2, next time.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.